Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 221. And my guest today is Cynthia from St. Louis, Missouri, with a stunning dream. Do not miss this episode. If you started to listen to this and think, oh, I haven't got time, you've got time. Listen to this episode. You'll learn so much. It's actually a very long dream. But stay in there, because it's an interesting dream to listen to, but what we get out of it is, as I said, stunning. So lots of take home from this for you and for Cynthia. As you know, or if this is the first time you've listened to The Dream Show, you may not know, the formula when we have a guest on the show is that we line everything up, we get ready to record, and I don't know anything about the dream. So when we start recording, you and I hear the dream at the same time. So you hear that whole process of listening to the dream and exploring it with the dreamer, in this case, Cynthia, and working out what it means, how it relates to life, and what insight can be taken from the dream moving forward. So obviously we've just done that. We do that, and when we stop recording, we come back and we add this little intro to the beginning, and then we add an outro. So this is why I'm here to say, stick in, it's a long dream, but it's a stunner. You'll really get a lot out of this episode. Just before we go there, the website addresses, if you haven't been for a while, my main website is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And from there, you can get to my e-learning platform, or you can go direct to the Dream Academy. And the address for that is dream-academy-online.com. It's there that you can go to learn how to interpret your own dreams, to learn about dream alchemy, and even to go all the way to learn how to become a professional dream therapist. So go to dream-academy-online.com if you're interested in doing courses with me online by video. They're done one-on-one, so you go through it in your own time. There aren't any webinars or group meetings or anything like that. You go through, you watch the videos, you download material, and in some of the later courses, you also have private mentoring with me. So go there to have a look at that. At janeteresa.com, of course, you can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, right back to number one. You can also read hundreds of blogs that I've written about dreams and dreaming. And you can also find out how to contact me if you want to have a dream interpreted by email or by phone. Then there are details about how to do that as well. But or you can find me on Facebook or Instagram. But let's get on with the really important part of the show, the interpretation. And here, let's go on to Cynthia. Welcome to The Dream Show, Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. How's life in St. Louis at the moment?
Well, the weather's nice, and it's an off day, you know, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty nice here.
That's lovely. I love that we have guests from all over the world. It's so lovely. You know, I mean, we all dream, and that's the common bond, but it's just so lovely to visit different parts of the world in so many of our podcasts. So you contacted me because you said you had a very intense dream. So, of course, I know nothing about it, but let's go. Tell me your dream.
Okay, it was a rather long dream. Well, what I wrote was long. It probably won't be that long. But I was at the start of the dream. I remember being in a home that appeared to be my mom's home, and the home was like a mansion. It was much bigger than the home that she lives in now, and I was in her bedroom. It was as though I was temporarily living with my mother because I was getting dressed over there, and I remember telling her I will be getting my new place by the end of December. And in my mind, I wanted to say January, but I said December, and she replied and said, well, why don't you do it in January where it'll be more feasible for you? And I said, okay, well, you know, I just don't want to be a bother to you. And she was like, it's no bother. You know, I have all of this space here, and you're more than welcome. I remember having a clothes rack in front of me. It was like a portable closet with a lot of clothes on it, and I was trying to find something to wear. It was just my mom and I in the home, and suddenly, I just, after I got dressed, I had the desire to go to my house, which was right down the street from her house, to check on things. My spouse and I must have been going through some sort of something, because I was temporarily staying with her and I did not have any intentions of going back to the house but that we own. As I was going to the house, I see my ex-spouse driving down the street away from my house with his truck filled with things from the house as though he was moving out. And I've had dreams before where my ex-spouse represented my current spouse, and they would just be interchangeable, and I don't have any interest in him in that way. But when I saw him, we locked eyes, and I became alarmed, and I was like, oh, my God, I hope he hasn't taken things out of the house that didn't belong to him. So I rushed to the house, kind of started running to the house, and I never went inside the house. I just went to the garage where the door was open, and I saw, you know, a lot of my furniture there. Some was missing. Some had been vandalized. And I remember saying, I was wondering about a certain desk, which I have in my home now, which was quite expensive. Was wondering if he had taken that, but I never went in the house to find out if he had taken it. There was some people outside, and I asked them if they wanted to make some money by moving a couple of pieces of furniture to my mother's house, which is right down the street. And they said, you know, sure, we'll move it. So they moved it. We went back to my mother's house. It was dark inside of my house when I was there. It was dark. I remember that. And I never, like I said, I never went in. I just stayed in the garage area. When we get back to my mother's, we decided to go to church. And so we went to church, and I remember us having the whole church experience. And when I was leaving the church, I said, oh, my God, I forgot I left Samantha at home. And Samantha is my now 3-year-old daughter. And I just felt very bad because it was, I remember saying, you know, what kind of mother leaves her child at home? And my mother was like, how did you leave her at home? I said she was asleep when I left, and it just was so much going on, seeing him leaving and then my things, you know, taken. I just was frazzled in my mind, and I forgot that she was there in the house. And so when we were on our way back to the house to get her, my sister appeared in the car. I was in the front passenger side. My mom was driving, and my sister was in the back seat. And we were headed north on this road that's near my childhood home. And we were talking, and my sister and my mother said, well, we, you know, your spouse told us that he was leaving. And I said, what? You know, he told you, did he say why? And then, you know, before they could talk, I said, well, why didn't anyone tell me, you know, that he was leaving? And they didn't have a response for me. I felt betrayed. I was angry. I was hurt, you know, because I felt like they kept me out in the dark and they knew things, and I could have better prepared myself, you know, for the experience had I known. And so I told my mom, I said, well, stop the car. I don't even want to be in the car, you know, with you all. I'm just very hurt. So I remember getting out of the car on a busy street, and traffic was coming, and I just kept walking, and the cars just stopped, but they were coming kind of fast, but somehow they were able to stop. And the street that I had her stop on was the top of the street that I grew up on, which is Edison. And I remember walking down the street. It was a hill. Maybe about after 10 steps, I realized that I had two pairs of the same shoes on. And I said, let me, you know, it's getting uncomfortable to walk this way. Let me take off a pair of these shoes. I don't know why I had two pairs of the same shoe. I don't know. But I took off one pair, and I had it in my hand, and I'm walking, and I see, you know, people and remnants of my childhood. And as I approach the first intersection, I see some people that are dressed in, like, wizard attire, W-I-Z-A-R-D, And as they're walking towards me, but they're in the street. I'm on the sidewalk. And I said in my mind, I hope she doesn't pick up on whatever I'm dealing with, and I hope she doesn't tell me anything because I just don't want to hear it. And so as we passed each other, I could feel that she wanted to say something to me, but that I was resisting or trying to block it. But right after we passed one another, she yelled, she turned to me and yelled, you know, just let him go. Just let him go. And I said, what did you say? And she said, just let him go. And I thought to myself, what makes you think my tears are about a man, you know? But I kept walking. And so I get to the second intersection, which is right before my childhood home. And I look at the home and I see that, you know, it's intact. And my neighbor, my best friend was my neighbor, and they were out, they were doing something. But I didn't want to go that direction, so I went to the left. And when I went up one block to the left, like, I got lost. I didn't know where I was. And I was looking for 3rd Street, but the only street that I was able to find was 5th Street. That was the only street that I saw. And I was just really, really lost. And it was like the more I walked, the more I became lost and frustrated. And I'm trying to look and find, you know, something that that connects me to where I'm from, or, you know, something that's familiar, but nothing stood out. And it was just so frustrating, because as soon as I crossed a certain point in my walk, it was like everything behind me just disappeared, and nothing back there was familiar. And I had gotten to the point in the dream where I was so frustrated that I just sat down. I sat down in front of a restaurant on the ground, and I remember sitting next to a barrel. It was on the left-hand side. It was like a busy area. And I just started crying. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get back home. I don't know how I'm going to get back to Samantha. You know, I'm just in this new place, and I don't know anything or about this area. It was culturally different, it felt like. So I'm sitting there crying, and this lady, these two women walk up to me. They had two children with them, two girls, around maybe 3 or 4. And one of the women, she speaks to me in like this African dialect, and she says, do you want me to buy you food? And I didn't even look up at her. I said, no, I don't want any food. I'm not hungry. I'm lost. I just don't know where I am, and I don't know how to get back to where I came from. And she said, well, come with me, you know. And so I went with her, feeling like, you know, it was okay to go with her. And so we went to her house. The other lady that was with her, she didn't say much of anything. I didn't pick up anything from her. But as I'm sitting in the home, the two little girls, one of the girls, the older girl, she comes up and she asks me a question. I don't remember what she asked me, or she may have asked me, like, who are you, why are you here, something like that. Because I started telling her, you know, I'm lost, I don't know where I'm at, I'm trying to get back home. And she said something like she was older in her mind, like her soul or something, because whatever she said in my mind, and this is kind of, it gets weird, because in my mind, I'm like, look for clues. If you look for clues, it was like, I don't know if I was saying look for clues for the dream, to kind of see where I'm at, or look for clues, like, well, let me back up, like I knew that I was dreaming, or look for clues of something that would signify how to get back home. But I started walking through the house, and I ended up in the basement. And when I got in the basement, it was like really dark. There was a kind of beat up couch down there. There were three women down there, and they were much older, like maybe in their 70s or something like that. They were much older than me, but they didn't say anything. And so I remember sitting on the couch in the darkness, and just all of a sudden I had a phone in my hand, and I was able to make a connection and call my mother. And so I called her and I was telling her, you know, I don't know where I am and I don't know how to get back to where you guys are. You know, I just feel helpless. But it was like the more I talked, the more one of the older ladies started talking, and it was hard for me to hear. And whenever I moved, she moved closer to me, and I couldn't understand, you know, why she was doing that, and I got frustrated, and so I decided to go upstairs again. And when I went upstairs, it was like I was in this hair shop or something where you go and buy hair supplies, and it was very crowded in there, and there was a lot of people ordering like the same three products. They were like very popular, something to do with lavender, something to do with shea butter, and I don't remember the other one. It was some type of oil or something. But when I got up there, I saw my mother, and she was in line, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, Mom, I'm so happy to see you. And she was just very calm, but it wasn't my mother. It was like it was my mother's spirit, but it was a different woman. Mm. I don't know, but I just remember holding on to my mom just like, not wanting to get lost again, and then the dream ended.
Phew, that was a long dream. That was wonderful. And it must have been so frustrating, and it was so much emotion in there. How did you feel when you woke up?
I was just like, I was overwhelmed. I was really like, because the to feel lost like that, I was scared and frustrated, and then I had questions. You know, me and my spouse, we're in a winter season, you know, of our marriage, and I didn't know if that was alluding to where he's at in his mind, if he's planning to do that, or, you know, I just had a lot of questions, and just, I woke up kind of still feeling lost, like, what was the meaning behind all of that? So, you know, it was intense for me.
Yeah, and it was only a couple of days ago, this dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was, a couple of days ago.
Okay, so that's really good that we've got it so fresh. The one thing I will say straight off the bat is it's so, I wasn't expecting, and I was surprised, and I was delighted when the end of the dream was positive, because I thought, this is just going to end with you still feeling lost, and, you know, and we're going to have to go in there. But the fact that you actually found mum or mum's spirit in the line, and you felt it, you felt good, and you wanted to hang on to her, and you, that sense of, you know, don't let go, I've got a sense of home, I've reconnected, all as well, kind of feeling at the end of the dream, wasn't it? Which is really lovely. So we know that while you were sleeping, although you were going through all of this stuff, you did actually find a sense of home. There was a feeling there of, once we go through the dream of, I actually know what to do here. I've actually got the sense of mum here in the dream, even though it was a different woman, it was her spirit. I also noticed that it was quite interesting. I only tuned into this when you mentioned the second pair of shoes, because, you know, like everyone listening in, we're probably going, how can you wear two pairs of shoes at the same time? But after the second, you then mentioned street names like Fifth Street, Third Street. So we had like second, third, fifth, all of these, which I don't know if that's relevant at the moment, but I'm just mentioning that I noticed that kind of system of naming. So if we look at the overall thing, we've got this overall feeling of, if we stand a long, long way back from the dream, the overall sense of the dream is something is changing, something is dark that I can't see, there's a feeling that thing right at the beginning of the dream, there's that feeling that you said that I'll be getting a new place at the end of December or January. So there's a feeling of in transition. I'm trying to take it out from the kind of logical storyline of the dream and make it more ethereal. There's a sense of I'm in transition, but a little bit in the dark and very confused. And the more that I try to find a sense of place, the more I notice that I'm in unfamiliar territory and I actually don't know where I am. And then things get even worse when I realize that I've left my sleeping daughter behind and I really want to find a sense of home, a sense of mum. And more importantly than anything, I want to find my daughter who was asleep. And I left because I didn't notice her because she was asleep. So there's a sense of sleeping, of not not being aware of something and of being in transition and worrying about all of that. So there's that kind of thread going through the whole thing, and the sense of a search. So if just on that one level, I suspect that in your life at the moment, whether it is about your relationship or whether it's about your work or some other aspect of your life, there's probably consciously or perhaps more unconsciously a sense of something is changing in my life, probably for the better. But in this transition period, I'm feeling totally lost and a little bit panicky.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be true. I made mention of that in my journaling the other day, that I wasn't sad, but I felt a grief. And it was a, you know, when things change in life, you subconsciously grieve what is being left behind. You know, not because you're sad, it's just sometimes it could be your normal response to the change. You're welcoming newness, but something has to die in order for the newness to come, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and in a positive spin of a sense, you know, if we're all on this planet to grow in many different ways, then we're in a period of constant flux and change. And as you say, the only way to really move forward is often to let go of what was, even if it was whatever that what was, you know, even if it was a particular attitude that you had or a way of approaching life, that has to die off in order for a new way of approaching life or a new attitude to come into play. And even if it's something more physical or, you know, about anything, say, aging or relationships or work or anything, we can only move forward with letting go. And that's why I'm really pleased, although it was difficult for you, at some point in the dream, you sat down in that street and you just cried. You know, so we know that even in the dream, you had that there was a sense of grieving there, a sense of letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just surrendering. Like, hey, I've looked here, I've turned around and looked everywhere. I just don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to get from this place. And just feeling helpless, though. You know, that's not a good feeling to feel. Even though I know that I'm not helpless, but I feel like when I sat and surrendered or accepted where I was at, or that's when the help came or someone showed up instead of me trying to do it on my own. When I sat still, then that's when someone showed up. And you know, maybe that's a message, too. Just there's nothing to do right now but just to sit still. And that stillness is the trust. Trust that everything is working out fine. Everything is in divine order. You will be okay. Everyone involved will be okay. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And there's kind of two aspects of that. One is that I think physically, if we have unexpressed grief from leaving behind what we have to leave behind, letting go what we have to let go. If we have unexpressed grief, that is a blockage in itself. You know, you could imagine that unexpressed grief as a wall of tears or a body of water that you can't cross, or you might drown in because it's grief, you know, it's tears, and that you can't actually make forward progress until you acknowledge it. Oh, look, there's grief. Oh, look, there are my tears. I can't actually move on with the new, or I can't go through this change without first acknowledging the grief. And so I think the sense sometimes of searching and feeling helpless is it comes upon us when we're otherwise used to being in control, you know, of ourselves and of what's happening, and being able to say, well, I've got a to-do list, so I do this step one, then I do this, then I do that, and then of course it will be December or January and I will have made the change. Whereas often you can't do that if there's a big wall of grief in front of you, especially if you haven't really acknowledged it.
Yeah.
So I think partly that sitting still is to acknowledge that grief, which you did feel in the dream. And partly, as you say, it's also to, or as I'm reading between the lines of what you said, it's also to relinquish your own sense of control and say, well, maybe a divine order about this, and I'm only feeling helpless because the number of steps that I had in mind to follow aren't working for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that resonates. I'll say that.
We're going to jump all over the dream, of course, but at the end, towards the end, I thought it was quite interesting that it was the older child, the child that was nearly four, that seemed to be older than her years and seemed to have some wisdom for you. And her wisdom was basically a sense of looking for clues, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So although Samantha is three, nearly four, you know, so one thing that I know that's been in your life that length of time is Samantha. What else has been in your life for about 4 years?
That's a great question. My grandson, he'll be five, so that's, he'll be five in December.
So that's another reference to December. So did you become a grandmother for the first time nearly 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's one thing. And actually, I quite like that because, as you'll have noticed, Cynthia, there's the theme of mum going through this dream. You know, the dream starts with your mum. And then acknowledges yourself as a mother. And when you say, what kind of mother am I to have left Samantha at home? And then throughout the dream, although you're lost, you're looking for home, but you're also looking for mum. And it's mum's spirit that arrives at the end. So there's a sense of mum or whatever mum means to us, you know, whether it's your own mum or whether it's a sense of mothering or a sense of inner mothering, you know, how I mother myself. But the fact that you now add that layer that, nearly 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, you became a grandmother, which is mothering again in a different sense, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. I know in December, that's when our lease is up here, too. I didn't know if that had anything to do with me referencing that month.
I wonder I want to move to that, but I just mention one more thing about the child and the dream first. For people listening that might be a bit confused as to why I asked that question, children in our dream, if you've got the age, saying she was 3 or 4 years old, can often represent something that's been in our life for that length of time. Because you thought she was wiser than her years, there's maybe something there about, as a grandmother, I have a lot of wisdom that I can offer. That you're not in your 70s, but I've just remembered you had all the women in their 70s in the basement in the dream as well, who are moving closer to you. So, you know, I wonder also whether you're at some level concerned about aging, kind of looking ahead about, oh, I know, 70s are moving closer to me, not a long way off yet, but, you know, I can sense this coming. I'm a grandmother. There's aging happening. How do I deal? I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling confused. So I sense there's a strong thread there. But I just want to jump also to what you said about your lease coming up. In waking life, are you feeling comfortable about that, like excited about moving somewhere else, or is it a worry or a concern, or have you got it flagged as an opportunity to change something, or...?
At this point, I really don't know. The physical me wants to end the union and just go forward with my life and allow, you know, the other half of this to go forward with their life. Mm-hmm. But I feel, sometimes I feel torn. If I don't know if that's what's best, you know, what's best for our highest good, for everybody involved, the little person and him. But I really don't see anything changing. Like, I don't see any progression. I don't see growth. I've become to the point where I'm not really interested. You know, if things move forward, it's going to be because of the effort that I put into it. There's no proactiveness. And so I just feel torn where that's concerned. I've been through a divorce before with children, and it messed my children up, you know, the first two. And so we vowed to give this little one here a two-parent home, But sometimes my faith is so thin to see the other side, if this is going to get better. Not that I believe that my spouse is bigger than God, but there's just a hardness of heart. It's a lot of pain and unforgiveness that he really has. He doesn't, you know, I don't want to say don't want to deal with. I think it's too much, too heavy, so he just stays in his comfort. And I feel that we were sent to each other on a spiritual level. I really do feel that. And so my physical person wants to leave and be free, but my spirit person says, no, this is where you're supposed to be. And sometimes it's overwhelming.
That's a very, very tough decision to make. And I'm sitting listening and I'm thinking, you know, it's almost as common for kids to come from families who have divorced as not. It's not such an unusual thing anymore. But the fact that you mentioned there, we vowed to each other we wanted to be, to give our daughter a two-parent home. But in many senses, a two-parent home these days can be separated parents living not far from each other with two houses, if you take home as a spiritual place and a place of love rather than a physical building. Throwing that in there. I see it, you know, at the beginning of the dream, and I'm helping explore this whole thing with you here. At the beginning of the dream, mum's house is a mansion. So we know that you, the mother, or the sense of mothering within you is absolutely huge, or at least has huge potential. That kind of reflects what you've just said there, really. You know, you've effectively said that he doesn't seem to be willing to move on or to grow. He's uncomfortable in comfort zone, whereas you have put heart and soul into all possible means of growth and not getting anywhere. So you have this sense of the mansion and wanting to move on in some sense. And then all that big rack of clothes, you know, so much choice there. You have so much choice about how to dress yourself in the world. So we're not talking physically, but how do I portray myself in the world? How do I signal who I am and what I do and how I feel through my clothes when you have the choice to do that? That's what we do with our clothes often. So you have that sort of sense of a lot of potential and choice at the beginning of the dream. But then you go down to your house just to check, and that's where the house is dark. So although it is your own house in the dream, there's a sense of there's something that I really want to check what's happening down the street because we've kind of split up. But I'm not really going to go inside. So you're on the outside, you're in the garage or the garage, and you're not willing at this stage in the dream to really go in and find out more. Like I've probably because you've been there, done a lot of that before, and you don't want to have a look, or maybe because there's deeper stuff there, I'm not sure. But it's really interesting, isn't it, based on what you said, that you're the one that has you're the one whose physical self would like to break up, but whose spiritual self would like to stay. And yet in the dream, it's your spouse who's leaving, and you have the sense of betrayal.
Yeah.
This is where in dreams, and an aside for people listening, that the dream of your spouse leaving you or betraying you is quite a common theme for many people, and the natural response is to wake up and wag your finger at your spouse and say, what have you been up to? I've picked up on some of this in my dream. And of course, it's always important to remember that everyone and everything in a dream has something to do with the dreamer. So it's more informative to us to look at how we are perceiving life, which is coming up in our dreams. So whether you're looking at your spouse in your dream as, oh, he's a symbol of somebody who could betray me, you know, I'm thinking of doing the, you wouldn't be betraying Cynthia, from what I can hear and understand, if you broke up, you've already given lots of chances, it would all be laid on the table, you'd have a plan, it would be sorted. There isn't that deeper sense of betrayal of something's been happening behind my back and I don't know what it is. But in the dream, you're kind of playing with that. But I'd say it's more likely that your spouse in your dream and your ex-spouse in your dream represent your inner male. So in other words, your right brain, your logical brain, we might say your planning brain, which is probably important here, your world of work and independence perhaps. and you're questioning there whether that whether you've been betrayed by that sense of yourself. Has your spouse and your male spouse in your dream, sorry, I should clarify, your male spouse in your dream may represent your outer world. So there's a sense of, am I being betrayed by my outer world, or am I betraying myself in some sense? Is there a sense of what I do for a living that is betraying my deeper needs here? So, you know, we have that. And obviously great alarm, and then the sense of belonging. So although he's taking stuff and you're wondering, oh, I hope he's not taking stuff that doesn't belong to him, I think the question here is more a sense of belonging. What do I, Cynthia, where is my belonging in life? Where do I sense that I belong?
Yes, that is the question that is on the table with God.
And you focus the item of furniture that you really focus on in the dream at that point is your desk, which you do have in real life, and you said it's expensive. So what does, if you figured out of all that furniture about a sense of belonging, you focus on the desk, I'm wondering what that symbolizes for you. Can you go back to when you invested in the desk and what you bought it for?
Yeah, I bought it for to have a workspace in the home so that I can, I was working from home at the time with my business, and so I wanted a space and a very nice, you know, desk. So I bought me a desk for that purpose.
And how long ago was this?
That was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And what's interesting is when we moved here, the desk couldn't fit downstairs, so it's sitting here in my kitchen. And I remember, you know, my spouse wanting to just get rid of it, but I paid a nice amount of money. It has sentimental value to me. It was like the first big physical investment in myself as an entrepreneur, as a business woman, you know, so yeah, it does hold value. But the thing that comes up for me is, if it was so valuable, why wouldn't I go back in to see if it was there? Because in the dream, I could really feel like, I wonder, did he, you know, take my desk or do anything to it? But I wouldn't go in to check.
So if we take that question that you've asked there deeper inside, make it more, take it away from the dream and make it more ethereal. What values or something valuable within yourself that you're not going in to check, that everything else that's coming up in your life at the moment, reminding you that the dream usually reflects the 1 to 2 days before. So we're really going back to what was going on for you 2 or 3 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, whenever it was 2 days before the dream. What was there a sense of, look, there's so much happening in my life and so many decisions to make and so much concern and feeling lost, but I know that there's something that I hold as deeply valuable and it's deep down inside me, but for some reason I'm so blinded by everything else that's going on in my life at the moment that I'm not going inside to check if it's still there. What does that bring up for you?
Oh my goodness. My business, Dare to Dream.
So, yeah, go on.
No, I was just, yeah, it, no matter how I try to hold on to it, I mean, you know, navigate it, it just seems to get buried. And it's not, you know, I've been having a conversation with myself for the past few days. It's not an afterthought. It's very much a part of me and what I was created to do. It just seems as though I'm not able to devote the time and the resources, I wouldn't say resources, just attention to it as I want to.
I can understand that, and I'd love to say two things straight up about that as long as they both stay in my head long enough to remember them. One is that it's interesting that the desk is in your current kitchen, which of course is not a good place for a desk to be, but symbolically it's close to my heart, it's close to the nurturing space of the home So, you know, that's one thing. And the other is reference to Samantha being asleep in the dream. You know, what kind of mum am I? Oh, well, it's because I didn't notice that she was there because she was sleeping. So there's a sense of something sleeping in your life. And maybe that's a sense of the business too, that for whatever reason, there's a big aspect of it that is you still have to awaken and find a space for it. Like the mansion at the beginning of the dream, you know, there is room somewhere, whether it's physical room or whether it's room within yourself, there is room to devote to that business. And there's the reference at the end of the dream about a business, isn't there? There's the business with the hair. I wrote down the people ordering the same three products, the lavender, the shea butter, and some kind of oil. So there's a sense there of, and that was just before the bottom line of the dream, which was, there's mum in the line, there's a spiritual mum, you know, I've found where I am. So if and only if your creative mind was working really hard in that dream and knew that it was about the value of really awakening your business and getting it started, it may or may not have anything to do with hair products. It probably doesn't. But the little message there was people ordering the same three products. So, you know, I don't know what your business is, but or what the business that you're thinking of was. But there's a sense there of focusing on the three things that people seem to really want. So that may or may not be your creative mind coming up with a practical solution there. Also, because it was a hair shop, you know, hair grows out of our head like maybe ideas do. So it may be some kind of sense on what comes out of our heads or our minds and three products around that. Two pairs of shoes now comes to mind. Wearing two pairs of shoes feels to me like trying to, I guess it's like wearing two hats, but it's two ways in which we walk in the world. So has there been a sense where, obviously you walk in many ways in the world, Cynthia, you walk as a mom, as a grandmother, within your business at whatever level that is, as a spouse, there's a million ways in which you walk in the world. But which two ways spring to mind where there's been a feeling of, I'm like walking in these two different ways and I can't do this, I've got to take one pair of shoes off?
That would have to be the marriage.
Mm-hmm. So which are the two pairs of shoes in the context of the marriage?
It's like, that's a really great question. So go ahead. The two pairs of shoes, one would represent my desire for marriage and companionship. And the other one is my desire for a relationship with myself, like who I really desire to be. Like I just feel so stagnated in this relationship. It just feels so hopeless, and like it's always going to be something and nothing ever progressive. And that makes me sad. Like, I just know that there's more to life than struggling and arguing and not listening and just uncooperativeness and anger, things that I didn't help produce or create. And I feel like I'm getting, I'm being held responsible for it or...
Mm-hmm.
I would say taking off the shoe of, I guess, the letting the marriage go.
Mm. It's really, really hard to be in relationship if you can't be your own self, your authentic self within that relationship, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I've tried to be someone else, you know, but when you have someone that's is severely hurt or wounded and don't want to deal with it, they find fault in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Everything is your fault. No ownership or accountability. And that's exhausting. Like, it's exhausting. And I just really, I don't want to live like that. But I think the challenge is, for me, having struggled with abandonment, like there's a part of me that feels like I'm abandoning or giving up, but then there's another part of me that feels like, well, if you stay, you are abandoning you. Mm. You're abandoning, you know, life. And maybe, this is what I was supposed to learn, and the season is really up, like, The season is up.
You were just that little one. You jump ahead of me there, because that was going to be the next thing I was going to say. You know, that you said my physical self wants to leave the marriage, but my spiritual self believes that there is something to learn from this. And I was going to ask you, well, if you left the marriage and didn't stay, what was the spiritual lesson in that that you could take forward? You know, have you actually completed that learning? And you've just told me that you have.
I've learned, how to speak up and how not. I've learned how to be secure. You know, I had the abandonment issues, and we separated several times. And I learned how to be comfortable in that. I've learned to see who I am as opposed to who someone says I am, based upon who their mother was and what she didn't do. And you know, I've just learned a lot about myself, where I feel like I'm stronger and more capable to really stand on my own two feet. But I feel like the challenge would be a kidnap, you know, of the little person. And I don't want to stay because of that, but I don't want that experience. And I've never been one to try to keep a child away from their parent or anything, but spite, you know.
Yeah.
Cause people to do things, and so just have to get wise about the best way to handle things.
That's right. To maybe draw in some of those 70s women in the dream, you know, the wisdom women, and maybe even the wizard in the dream, which is all a part of yourself. And work out if you decide to leave, to work out a plan that you feel would be beneficial to Samantha and would give her two loving homes, and then do all that you can to nurture and nourish that. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but you would have given it your best. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sense of abandonment, not only prior divorce for you, but, you know, you've got that sense in the dream of trying to get back home. Was there any abandonment for you as a child?
Well, yeah, my dad, he wasn't there, and when we were coming up. And then sometimes my mom, she had me when she was young. So sometimes I think the responsibility of motherhood and having to make the choice to drop out of school, it would make her, she said she didn't want the life, but I believe that I internalized it as she didn't want me. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes she would say things like she's going to go to the store and never come back. And I tried to be like this really good kid, didn't ask for much, you know, to make parenting easy. And that spilled over into my adult life. And so that's one of the lessons, you know, that I've learned through this marriage, is ask for what you need. And holding people accountable is not wrong, you know.
Yes.
But definitely... Yeah, and then I had a close relative who passed away when I was younger, and that was very hurtful, you know. But it was just my father not being there, and then my mother, she wrestled with the thought of whether or not to give me up for adoption. She, you know, kept me, you know, because she said God told her to keep me, because how would I learn about faith if she gave me up? And so I just never really felt wanted. Like, I always felt like I came at an inconvenient time for people, and I was tolerated. And so I wanted to be loyal and committed and stick with it in relationships. But it's just, I just feel like my life can be so much better if I was just by myself or not in this union.
That's absolutely huge, Cynthia, and especially that thing that you've always known, that sort of known for most of your life, that your mum did actually consider giving you up for adoption. And it's probably, even bigger than you realize emotionally, because you've had it with you all of your life as part of your story. But it's absolutely huge. So, you know, I'm thinking, listening to you, not only, you know, well done, lady, for what you have done in your life and how far you've come and your confidence, but I'm also thinking it's almost as if I and everyone listening in could completely understand why you want to establish, or been trying to establish, you know, a stable two-parent home marriage to make up for that. But it's almost as if you're paying for it, you know, as if it was somebody, it wasn't your mistake as a child that your father left, that a relative died, that your mother considered giving you up for adoption. That was nothing to do with you. You know that as a wise adult, but unconsciously, and, you know, younger parts of yourself believe that you were partly to blame for that. And it's almost as if you're paying for that now. As I am going to create solid relationships, and I'm going to be everything that wasn't. I'm going to be loved and looked after. I've got to make everyone around me feel that they won't be abandoned. I've got to make everyone around me feel like they won't be abandoned, including my spouse, because I'm paying at some level for what I think I did wrong when I was a child. But you did nothing wrong as a child. You know, with the eyes of a mother and a grandmother, the stresses and strains of bringing up kids. And, you know, your mother's only mistake was to actually probably verbalise that and let you know.
Yeah.
I'm also, one of the things that you said that I wrote down, put a big circle around, because I really loved it, was when towards the end of the dream, the two African women came and asked if you wanted something to eat. And you said, "I'm not hungry, I'm lost." And for me, that was a sense of, I loved the "I'm not hungry" part of it. You know, there's nothing I need. Despite your story, you felt in the dream that physically, emotionally and spiritually, I don't have a hunger. I've got those things covered for myself. But I'm lost as to where to take these wonderful aspects of myself. It's the lost part. And that's where they then take you, right down to the basement. It's almost like, let's go down to the very bottom of things, where it's dark, and let's find out why you're lost. Let's not go to the top. Let's not go to the most recent thing. Let's go right down deep inside. And that's where, again, increasing number of women throughout this dream appearing. But that's where you sat in the quiet, almost a meditative space with the women in their 70s. So it was almost like looking towards the end of our lives. These days, the end of our lives are not the 70s. We hope they're more like the 90s or the 100s. But it's like looking ahead into, where am I going? What were my thoughts, the basement of my life, my very beginning? What did I imagine my life would look like? Yeah, and how this is why I'm lost now, because what I pictured for myself,
oh my God,
is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that so resonates. Oh my goodness. Mm. And the punishment piece. Oh my God, I got chills. I'm keeping together. I don't want little Samantha to get upset, but I remember a few months ago. I'm an avid journaler, and so I'm always journaling about what's going on, and I remember I kept feeling like there was this punishment that I was, there was like a parent subconscious and a child subconscious, and I felt that the parent subconscious part of me was very, I don't want to say mean, but just stern. It was like the child couldn't have anything. I used to struggle with buying myself stuff, or it was just really tough, you know, and only after just praying and meditating did I associate it with, it felt like a parent and a child relationship, because the parent felt like it was trying to keep the child safe or something, and protected from something, and so things that may look like it would harm me or take me somewhere, I don't know, it just... Go wash your hands. It just made me think about that. But I just really want to be strong to make the decision and feel like I know what the decision is, but I take myself through this experience where I go back to the beginning and I don't feel like I'm sure when I really do know that I'm sure. It makes me think of a dream I had, and we don't have to talk about it, but where I just kept, I was pregnant, I found out I was pregnant, I would see my stomach growing, have the baby, and then I'll come right back to the beginning of finding out I'm pregnant, seeing the belly grow, and then have the baby and can't, and then I'll go back to being pregnant again.
Yeah.
And so I really, I don't know, I guess I just need to be still, because I just don't believe that nothing is going to come out of, from this. And I've been ill with cancer, and I've been healed of that, and I just don't want to waste my life just stuck. And that's what I feel like it is. And he's content with his life and how little it is, and where he's at, and I'm just not, you know. But then I struggle with the whole, well, you'll have two failed marriages, and you'll have, what if Samantha has issues like your other daughter had, you know, with her, you know, and then I guess I'm better prepared for it, and I don't have to go down that path. But clearly there is there are some decisions that need to be made.
That's right. You know, and what you've said there, amongst many other things, is that, yes, I do need to give birth to something in my life. And you've also said that the main thing you're struggling with is actually the judgment of others.
Mm-hmm.
And you're much wiser with Samantha than the decisions that you made, which you thought were right for you at the time with your other daughter. And things will turn out differently with Samantha. You know, the flip side of the question is what will happen for Samantha if she grows up in a two parent in the house relationship where there's a lot of arguing and things are not going along and mum isn't role modeling, moving on with things.
Yeah, and that's what I think about. You know, it's so interesting. He will kiss her on the way out before he goes to work. He talks to her. He doesn't really talk to me. But a few days ago, she said, now give mommy a kiss, you know, those types of things that she's aware of, you know. We can think that physically two people being there is good, but if the behavior that's being modeled in front of them will not produce good habits for them, a good model of a loving relationship between two people, then it doesn't serve the purpose that, you know, it's not going to produce the vision that you have just to have two people physically here. And so I just need to work through I'm not afraid of, like, I won't be able to take care of myself or anything like that. Just whatever, I just have to be still and hear what comes up. But I do really believe that December, we need to go our separate ways. I really do.
It sounds very much like it, Cynthia. I mean, you know, as you know, I'm not here to tell you which way to go, but it does sound very much from what's happening for you within your dream and what's happening for you processing all of this, that there's a bigger life for you to go that separate way. And I love that we all heard you just tell your daughter there to go wash her hands. And, you know, symbolically, even that, even though she was actually there and you just whispered that to her, there was a sense there of, yes, let's wash our hands, which is what we do when we wash our hands of something and we move on to the next thing. And the fact that she wasn't asleep, she was asleep in the dream, but she's awake now, has that sense of the little girl is awake and something's awakened, is washing its hands and, you know what to do. It's a big, big time for you. And fortunately, December is far enough away for you to make good decisions, but not too far away to be stuck.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you, because it was a long dream and we're kind of getting to the end of our hour, but is there anything else in the dream in particular that you wanted to highlight or ask about?
Why do you think I ended up on my childhood street, the street that I grew up? Do you think that was symbolic to, I guess, me relating that to home or something like that? Or
it was you going back to the very beginning, like, where, why am I confused? Why at the moment, why don't I, this sense of home that I'm trying to find within myself, let's go back right to the beginning where I was brought up. And that, so that childhood home was where you were a baby, where your mother was thinking of giving you away from adoption. It was that home, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. So in your dreamy mind was taking you right back to the start, right back to the basement in another, you know, another part of the dream. It was like to the basement in this part of the dream. It was to, let's go right back to my home and find out what I can find out. Which also made it interesting that you didn't go to your friend's house or your neighbour who was a friend. You went to the other side and you were completely lost there. So to me, that gave me a feeling of, see, in our dreams, we're more in touch with our unconscious mind before it bubbles up to our conscious awareness. So in your dream, it was almost like, I've gone right back to my childhood. I've kind of examined all this stuff and about maybe this sense of punishing myself by trying to stick in a relationship now for what I think I did wrong as a child. And in the dream, taking a sidestep and everything looks different and you're lost. So to me, that was a sense of, oh, actually, my upbringing is different from how I have perceived it to be all this time. I'm feeling a little bit lost because something has shifted and changed. The story that I thought I understood about being a child blamed for the relationship breakup of my parents is no longer true. But this leaves me with a sense of being lost and confused. So my feeling, Cynthia, is that you've probably done an awful lot of work that's actually at some level got you right back to recognizing that, but it hadn't quite got into your conscious mind. It needed the dream and our talk to really bring that up. But a sense of, yes, you've unpicked your history, you've taken off the second pair of shoes, you've gone right back. You didn't go back to the familiar, to the friend. You went to the other side and you thought, oh, this isn't how I've always imagined my childhood. The beliefs that I've taken from my childhood and based a lot of my decisions and judgments and values on, the story is actually different. I can see that now. It doesn't yet feel comfortable. It feels lost because I feel lost here. But, you know, it's like a fresh start. And the fact that at the end of the dream you get back to, I've connected with a sense of home, I've connected with the spirit of motherhood, because you connected with your spirit mum at the end of the dream, means that you are able to tune into that aspect of myself. If in doubt, what is the spirit of motherhood within me? What are those values? What does a desk represent? Put all that together and move forward with that. So how does that sound, Cynthia?
I mean, it sounds very accurate. It does. It's like a sense of relief. You know, I'll just leave it there. It definitely does resonate, though.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Well, look, you've brought a wonderful dream to the dream show, Cynthia. You've opened your heart and soul, which is what we love people to do when they come on the show, and we're very grateful for it. Not only because, well, you know, obviously there's the opportunity to help you understand your dream, which is the prime reason for this whole thing, but secondarily because it helps everybody listening in to not only apply the tips and techniques that they can hear us happening during our discussion to their own dreams, but I think in the bigger picture, it's that lovely opportunity to listen to what someone else is experiencing in their life and to learn from that. And that's what life's about, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a wonderful guest on The Dream Show, Cynthia. I hope you got as much out of that as Cynthia and I did. I think one of the big things about The Dream Show when we have a guest on the show is A, that it's wonderful that people put up their hands and volunteer to come on the show and be open and sharing as Cynthia did, you know, and let us in on the background story so that we can understand. But I think also The Dream Show, yeah, it gives you the opportunity to learn tools and techniques of dream interpretation yourself, because you can't help but learn how to approach your own dreams from listening to me talking with a guest. But I think the bigger thing, and that perhaps a thing of deeper value for listeners, is that sense of listening into the insides of somebody's life, you know, the deeper, what's going on in someone's life and how they're responding to it, the insights that they're getting, the decisions they're making, the effects that they're having in their lives. And it's this learning, I think, that really makes, as a lot of you say, that you find the dream show quite compelling listening. It's just getting this real deep connection into people in their lives through their dreams and through listening to a show like this with the dream show, where we pivot from the dream to really go in deep there. So I'm sure that you got heaps from that. There is so much to take away from that, and I know that Cynthia did too. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, go to janetheresa.com, go to the main menu, under podcast, drop-down box, be a guest on the show. And we love it when people volunteer. All you need to do is either have a landline or a good Skype connection, and we call you that way. And we just go through what you just heard. We don't really do any editing unless our phone lines drop out. What happens is what you get, and we love it. Of course, we do also do about 20% of our podcasts are without a guest, because we like to introduce a different approach for some of our podcasts, where I go more into the tools and techniques of dream interpretation and inspiring you to understand your dreams. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. We're very excited about the next episode, which isn't planned at the moment, but I'm excited because of its number. It's number 222, all the twos. And it's due out on October the 10th, 2019, if you're listening to this in real time. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.